This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 401.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be answering one of the most common questions that I get asked about email marketing. And it's this: how often should I email my list? Now, the rather unsatisfactory answer is it depends on all sorts of factors, including how often you usually email your list, what else is going on in your business at the time, and also what your goals are. But what I can tell you is that you are almost certainly emailing your list less than you should, and you're missing out on sales as a result. So in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through three different types of email sequence that you should be sending out regularly and talk about the frequency of those emails, just to put it into context for you. And along the way, we will answer that question of how often you should be emailing your list. But it's a little bit unsatisfactory. It does depend on a number of factors, but we're going to explore that in this podcast episode. But before we get to the main part of the show, I did just want to mention something interesting that I've started doing with my own email marketing recently. And it's this: I've started sending a daily email to my list. Now, that might sound absolutely bonkers to you. And if you're on my email list, you might be thinking, well, Janet, you already email us loads, so why would you want to send a daily email? It's actually an idea that I got from Rob and Kennedy, who are previous guests on the show. In fact, they've been on twice. They're email marketing experts, and one of them is a hypnotist and one of them is a mind reader. So their main business, or certainly it used to be, was they're professional performers, and they both built up professional entertainment businesses. And they teach other entertainers how to promote their businesses, primarily through email marketing. And when they first told me that they sent a daily email, I just couldn't actually believe it. It just seemed impossible that they could be emailing their list every day. But actually, they told me that it was a great way to build a connection, to build a relationship with their audience. And as long as you were adding value, then actually you can sell in every email. So this whole thing kind of blew my mind, and I've been pondering it for a while. But I love writing, and I often write social media posts. I think I'd love to send that to my email list. So what I decided to do was to create a daily email. And if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/daily email, so it's janetmurray.co.uk/daily email, you will be able to subscribe to that daily email. It's pretty short. It's only about 500 words long, and it's a little bit of daily inspiration for your life and your business. Short story or a short reflection or anecdote that usually has some kind of message in it or some kind of key takeaway that you can take with you through the rest of the day. Comes to you about 7 in the morning. So it's nice and quick, nice and easy to digest. And I have to say that people are telling me so far that they love it. So the other thing to say as well is that if you decide it's not for you, then you can completely unsubscribe. It's not silly or spammy. If there is a product or service that I think is relevant to what I'm talking about, then I will mention it at the end of the email, but it's not spammy or silly at all. And I'm getting great feedback on it. So if you'd like to subscribe to my daily email, if you'd like a little bit of Janet in your inbox every morning at 7 a.m. or thereabouts, then if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/daily email. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/daily email. My very clever messenger bot will get you onto the list to get that daily email. So now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be tackling a question that I get asked all the time about email marketing. In fact, I get asked it so often that I'm surprised that I haven't actually recorded an episode about it already. But the question is this: how often should I email my list? Now, as I said in the intro, there are so many factors at play. I wish I could give you a definitive answer and say, this is how many times a week or how many times a day or a month you should email your list. But it really does depend on what kind of business you've got, on how often you generally email your list, on whether you're in the middle of a launch or you've got something else going on. There are so many factors at play. So what I thought would be most helpful to do would be to run you through three typical email campaigns that you might have in your business and talk about the typical frequency that you might do for those campaigns. So number one, the delivery or welcome sequence. So this is the sequence of emails that you send somebody when they join your email list. Now, most people join my email list. In fact, 99% of people join my email list because they've signed up to some kind of lead magnet. So what I mean by that is it's a resource that you create, which is created with the intention of getting people to join your list. So it's generally something that adds value. So it might be a cheat sheet or a checklist. It could be a video tutorial. It could be some templates that you've created, but anything that's designed to add value and crucially leads towards some kind of paid product or service. So that part's really, really important that you're thinking about it in terms of it being part of a sales funnel. So when somebody joins your list, having signed up to some kind of lead magnet, I generally suggest sending a series of 3 to 5 emails where you break down the content of your lead magnet and you give additional value. I generally call this the delivery sequence, but some people call it the welcome sequence. It does depend how people join your list. If you have a general email sign up, so if you're just saying to people, join my newsletter, then you might need to create what I call a getting to know you sequence, where you tell people about you and your business and how you can help them over a series of emails. Maybe you share some useful content that you've got, some blog posts or whatever. But to be honest, I really wouldn't recommend that way of getting people onto your list. The best way usually to get people onto your list is to give them something of value. So if you have a service-based business, that's generally some kind of lead magnet. If you have a product-based business, then that generally is some kind of discount code or offer, but not necessarily. You can create information-based lead magnets as well. So for example, with my media diary, if you haven't heard about it, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates, awareness days, it's got planning tools in it. And we have a free media calendar that you can download that we use as a lead magnet. So the calendar has all of the months for the year. It's basically like a digital version of the diary, but just the kind of planning part. It has some key dates and awareness days for January. So we give you January for free. And then there's instructions on how to create your own calendar. So the idea being that somebody that is interested in creating a content plan, they download this lead magnet and they think, well, that's all very well, but then we make an offer for the diary. And some of those people will think, well, no, actually, I don't want to have to spend all of this time looking up the rest of the awareness dates for the rest of the year for myself. I'd much rather write my plan in a nice looking diary. So some of those people who download my free media calendar will be able to upsell or move them through the funnel to buy one of my media diaries. So generally, I wouldn't recommend just having a sign up page on your website or a box on your website that says join my newsletter, because people need to understand what they're going to get. People generally don't give their email address away for no good reason. They're looking for some kind of value. It's a kind of a trade, if you like. It's an exchange of value. So I would generally recommend creating some kind of lead magnet. And there's all different kinds of things that you can create. So I'll give you an example of one of my lead magnets. So I have a digital download called 23 Social Media Ideas. I will link to it in the show notes. And it's 23 social media ideas for those days when you're all out of ideas. And it literally is a list of ideas. So if you're stuck for what to post on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, you could literally pretty much cut and paste and adapt some of these ideas for your own social media accounts. So when that lead magnet is delivered to the recipient, and if you've downloaded it, then you've observed this sequence for yourself, I send 5 follow-up emails. So the first one is what we call the delivery email, and that delivers the lead magnet. And what I generally do in that email is I say, here's the download that you asked for. I hope you find it useful. And then I will probably then let people know what's going to happen over the next few days. So over the next few days, I will be sending you some more tips about your social media content. So look out for those in your inbox. So I'll tell people what's coming up next, because people, they don't want to be surprised. They don't want to think that they're just getting a download and then the next thing I'm emailing them for the next 3 days. So I generally would send them a bit of a heads up or give them a bit of a heads up that I will be emailing. The second email that I send, in this was actually a bit of a game changer when I started to introduce it, because what you can find, particularly when people are signing up to your list for the first time and they're using Hotmail accounts and Google accounts, sometimes your lovely download that you've created can get marked as spam because you two haven't emailed each other before and you get flagged up as spam. So they never actually get the download. So I added this email into my sequence quite a few years ago now, but it was a bit of a game changer, whereby I'd send a second email 24 hours later when we'd say, hi there, just checking in that you got the lead magnet, because I know sometimes they can fall foul of the spam filter. It says something like that. Hit reply and let me know that you've got this okay. Now, that bit's really important because as soon as the person replies and says that they've got the download, then their email provider will kind of see you as a friend, basically, and you're much less likely to get put in spam for future emails. It's a nice little tip for you. It improved our delivery rate by, I can't even remember the figure, but it was massive. The other thing that it really does help with is obviously if somebody hasn't been delivered it or there's been a problem and they haven't been able to download it, then they'll let you know. So people quite often email back and say, oh no, actually it didn't turn up. So that means that you're not letting somebody slip through the net. And particularly if you're using, like we use Facebook advertising, we've actually paid for that lead. If the person doesn't actually get their lead magnet, then no, that's a bit of a waste of money. So it's also a chance for people to let us know if they didn't get it and then we can resend it and that's all fine. So email three in the sequence, so emails 3, 4, and 5 is when I will generally, sometimes I will break down different aspects of the lead magnet. Other times I might just take one particular theme. So in this case, I know that the problem that my lead magnet solves is people not being able to come up with ideas to post on social media. And I know there's another very related problem that people who suffer with not being able to come up with ideas for their social media usually suffer from another problem. And the other problem is not getting engagement. So even when they do post, they don't get much engagement with their content. So I could probably put money on that the person who downloads 23 social media ideas is also having problems with their engagement too. So then I send a series of 3 emails which look at a different type of post that they can create, breaks it down, really shows them how to do it. That will guarantee them to get more engagement. So there's 3 types of posts. So one is the story post, one is the grenade post, and one I think is the question post. And there's an example in there. It really breaks down how to do it. It's a few little tips about, you know, putting a call to action at the end and getting people to reply back to you. But people often email me back in those emails and say, oh, I tried this actually, and it worked really well. And that's obviously what you're trying to do with your lead magnet, is to give people a quick win. Because if they have a quick win when they get to the end of the sequence and you move them into the sales sequence, which is what you should be doing, by the way, they've already had a quick win. They already like you. They already trust you because they've tried your content and it works. So one of the things I do along the course of those 3 emails is I encourage people to hit reply. So I'll say something like in email 4, I think I'll say something like, how are you getting on with the download that I sent you? Hit reply and let me know how it's going. Now, sometimes people email me back and say, oh, I haven't had a chance to have a look at it yet, or I'm a bit stuck on this bit or whatever. But what you're doing, as well as reducing the chance of your emails getting put into spam, because what you're doing is having a conversation with your new subscriber, but you're also building a relationship. And, you know, people, when you actually go back and you reply to somebody and say, oh, that's really good, or well done on that, or here's a podcast that you can listen to, or here's a blog post, if they could come back and say, well, actually, I'm still struggling with this. So you're building a relationship with your new subscriber. Now, what I generally do in this sequence, and this has all been knowledge and testing that's been built up over years, is I will generally make a very soft sales offer in about email 3. And I usually do it in the PS, and I'll say, by the way, and I'll be offering them something that's related. So usually my Build Your Online Audience program, because somebody who's struggling to create content and somebody who's struggling to get engagement on their content is usually the ideal fit for my Build Your Online Audience program. So I'll mention it in email 3, and then I'll mention it also at the end in email 5. And in email 5, I will make quite a kind of blatant sell, if you know what I mean. It might just be a kind of soft sell in email 3, and then by email 5. And you will see, generally, you will see a bit of a drop off in the engagement as you go through each email. That's kind of normal. And obviously, there are things that you can do to try and improve that, but people's attention generally does naturally drop off. But when it comes to email marketing, a lot of people say they really struggle to know what to write. And for me, it's always having a structure. It doesn't matter what content you're creating. If you have a structure that you can follow, if you have a template that you can follow, if you know that you're going to send every time that you do a lead magnet, I do exactly the same thing every time I do a 5 email sequence, then you're almost just kind of filling in the gaps, and it becomes so easy. If you know that number 1 is delivery sequence, number 2 is your, did you get my email? And then you're going to have 3 emails that break down either the lead magnet or a problem that relates to it, it becomes so much easier and so much quicker to write the content. You can also create welcome sequences for people who've bought paid products. So for example, I sell a number of playbooks. So these are digital downloads. They're kind of low entry, if you like. So they're $9.99. So they're almost like a paid lead magnet. They're 3,000 to 5,000 words. They do go into quite a lot of depth. They offer a lot of value, but they're kind of like entry level tripwire products, actually, is generally what they're called. So they're a kind of small purchase. If you can get people to make that purchase, then they're in your funnel, and then you can nurture them through to make a bigger purchase. So when somebody buys a playbook or they buy a masterclass or they buy something which is kind of lower ticket, I think it's still worth creating some kind of welcome sequence like that, where, you know, maybe if you are delivering an Instagram playbook, then you deliver it in the next email, you just check that they got it. And then over the next few emails, you break it down for them and you give them a little bit more value so they can get to know you and trust you. So that's important too. So the next sequence that I would suggest that everybody should have in their business, and this is actually the one that follows on, is your sales sequence. So once you've delivered a lead magnet to somebody, the next phase is to move them into a sales sequence. Now, sometimes people just aren't ready to buy, particularly if they're new to your list and they've just heard about you and they've just got your lead magnet. Well, sometimes I look at people who've been on my list and they're on my list for years before they make even a small purchase. Other people, they'll see a Facebook ad or they'll see a post about it on Instagram and they will just buy straight away. But for most people, you take them through a sales sequence after you deliver a lead magnet. But the majority of people probably won't buy the first time you take them through. You might need to run them through another sales sequence. You might need to run them through several. But that really is the next point, is to take them through a sales sequence. Now, the length of your sales sequence really depends on the product or service that you're selling. But personally, I really would never recommend doing sales campaigns that go for longer than about 5 to 7 days, because people just start to zone out if you don't keep it fresh and punchy, and actually if you don't have scarcity in it. Now, there is a lot of debate in the marketing world about, you know, whether you should have scarcity in your marketing. And some people really frown on the idea of false scarcity, you know, when you tell people there's only so many places or an offer only lasts for a certain time. But time and time again, we find it works. So for example, with things like my media diary, when somebody buys a media diary, we will give them the opportunity to upgrade to the Media Diary Owners Club, but they'll only have 24 hours to do it or something like that. That really does make people move. It makes them make a decision when they know they've only got a certain amount of time to do it. With things like my membership program, I've changed it over the years, but I've tried different things like opening and closing it. So giving people a small window every quarter to join up. And that tends to work quite well because it really focuses people's mind and they're forced to think about whether they want to join because they know it won't be opening back up again for another quarter. I've done things like free trials. So people get to try it for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, they have to make a decision. So some people do, you know, a penny for 30 days or whatever, or a pound for 30 days. So there's lots of different things that you can do. But my feeling is that as human beings, we find it very difficult to make decisions. And this has been my experience with all the email marketing that I've done over the years. Unless somebody gives us a deadline, unless somebody says that they're going to take the thing that we want away from us at a certain time, we will just procrastinate and we will just fuss and we won't make a decision. And I would say I'm as guilty of this as the rest of them. So sometimes people say it's wrong to have scarcity in your email campaigns, but I actually think I feel like I'm doing my audience a favor, because particularly, and I have no grounding for this whatsoever, this is just anecdotal, but particularly women, I think women do tend to kind of, they can really, really overthink it and take a long time to think things through. And when you actually say to somebody, look, this is only available till Thursday, or I'm going to be taking this bonus away, or the price will go up on Friday, and you stick to your word, that is the key thing. Anyone who's ever tried to buy anything from me will know that if you email me after the deadline and you say, oh, look, I just missed the deadline, or I just forgot, or my child was sick, or my dog was sick, or I was on holiday and I didn't have reception, you will get a no. And the thing is, you have to stick by your word, even if you need the money, even if you think, oh, it just would be so nice just to have that extra few sales. But if you've ever emailed me after a deadline, you'll know that I always do stick to my word, even though I do use scarcity in my marketing. But also, actually, there is a genuine reason for scarcity, because quite often, for example, if I'm running a live course and it starts, you know, the following Monday, I need to have the numbers settled because I need to be able to get all my emails out to everybody. I need to be able to get all the materials out. We need to get the Facebook group open. So there's things that need to be organized. It's the same with events as well. You know, you need to be able to, there comes a point when you're doing live events where you have to tell the venue your numbers, and they need to know how many people they've got to cater for. They need to know how many tables and chairs they need to put out. So although at times it can feel like it's not real, actually often it really is quite real, because there are decisions to be made. There are arrangements that need to be made. There's admin stuff that needs to be done. So it's helpful for everybody to have a deadline. So I'm a big fan of always having some kind of scarcity. So if you are going to make a special offer to somebody who's just joined your list, give it to them for the first 24 hours, or say it's only available for a certain time, and make that really clear. So your sales sequence, I would generally say no longer than 5 to 7 days. and often shorter, in fact, because again, if you give people too long to think about it, they will generally do nothing. Now, let's say that you're doing a sales sequence which lasts 5 days. I would always recommend emailing every single day during that sales sequence. And I would also recommend emailing up to 3 times on the day that your cart closes. And if that's making you feel a little bit uncomfortable, I think I said this at the beginning, but I say it all the time. If you're not feeling uncomfortable about how much you're not emailing enough. Like, what you have to remember is that not everybody sees every email. Everybody's busy. They've got stuff going on. They've got kids. They've got families. They've got holidays. They've got parents to look after, whatever they're doing. And honestly, if I had £1 for every time somebody emailed me after a deadline for a course, a membership, anything that I'm selling, an event, begging me if they can please still have the discount, but they just kind of forgot, they just missed it, or their email didn't read the email or whatever, I would be a rich lady. So it's really important just to keep reminding people, keep top of mind. One thing that we do in our emails actually is when I'm promoting a particular masterclass or a program, I'll always put something at the bottom of my emails which says, don't want to hear any more about this. That's fine. Just click here and you can unsubscribe from this particular sequence. Now, that's something that is probably a bit more of an advanced email marketing strategy. So don't panic if you don't have the capacity or the know-how to do it yet. But once you're more confident with your email marketing, it's a really good thing to do because people can unsubscribe. If they know, like this week, I'm doing a masterclass on passive income. If somebody looks at that and knows that they are definitely not interested in that topic, it's just not of interest to them at that time, I'd much rather them unsubscribe from that particular topic and then I can still send them emails about other things that they might be interested in, then them keep getting the emails and then get fed up and leave the list. So I always try and give people the option to unsubscribe from a particular type of email or a topic or a particular offer that I'm making. And that means they're not coming off the list completely, but you do have to be quite clear in your wording how you're doing that. So the length of your campaign can depend on the product or service that you're selling. So when I do online masterclasses, for example, I do one every month, I do an advanced open masterclass. I have a 4-day sequence. I've been using this sequence for years. And the reason I've been using it for years is because it works. So basically what I do is I generally hold the masterclass on a Thursday. On the Monday, I'll send what I call an announcement email, and that will just give people the kind of bare bones, tell them what's happening. Then the next couple of emails will probably be more, they'll be tackling a particular objection that people might have, or they might be what I call a transformation email when they tell a story about somebody who's done one of my masterclasses and has had a really great result. So they will be less sort of directly salesy. And then on day 4, I'll send a reminder, and sometimes we will send 2 actually, depending on what time of day it is. What I found with masterclasses, like online masterclasses or webinars, is that if you try and promote them too far out, they tend not to do as well. I think people, I don't know, that the 4-day thing just works really, really well. And obviously, if you offer a replay on everything, it's fine if people can't make the date. I mean, I sometimes do market them. So when I'm running a masterclass, it's always nice to have the next one set up and ready to go, because the best time to sell an event or masterclass is when you've got people on one with you at the time, if they're having a good time, finding it useful. So, you know, we might sell a few immediately in the follow-up period to a masterclass, but actually I find that 4 days works really, really well. Any longer and the sales period can just be too long. And if you're trying to do it over weeks and weeks, especially something like a masterclass, I charge £42 for mine. So it's not something that I want to spend weeks and weeks promoting. I've got more high ticket items that I would rather spend my time on. And in terms of the types of emails that you might put in your sales sequence, I generally cycle 3 types. So I have one which is called an objection email. So that when that's one that tackles a specific objection someone might have, like I haven't got the money, or I don't have the time, I've got a product-based business, I don't think this is for me. Then I do transformation emails. That's another type that I do. And the other type I do is what I call the problem email, which really gets to the heart of the problem that that product or service solves. And in a campaign, I will generally sort of cycle through those. So if it's a 7-day campaign, I'll probably have 2 objection emails, 2 problem emails, 2 transformation emails, and then a couple of kind of follow-ups at the end. I do have, I'm going to be putting my email copy. So I'm going to be giving swipe copy away to members of my premium Build Your Online Audience program. I will put a link in the show notes, but people have been asking me for a while, like, would you possibly sell some of your email campaigns that you've got? You can get them as part of my awesome sales copy course, but I'm actually going to be putting them into the premium part of my membership program, Build Your Online Audience. So you'll be able to get a bundle of, so these campaigns I'm talking you through at the moment, you'll be able to actually get these and you'll have the swipe copy that you can use to adapt for your own emails. So if you're not in my Build Your Online Audience program, and if you're not in the premium version of it, then if that's not a compelling reason to get on board, then I don't know what is, because this will save you a lot of time and a lot of troubles. So if that's of interest, then do head over to my website. It's janetmurray.co.uk/build-your-online-audience. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/build-your-online-audience. So the third type of sequence that I want to talk to you about is one that a lot of people don't do. They're just not brave enough to do, but this can be a real game changer for your email marketing. And I call it the looked, not bought sequence. And if you've ever worked with me in a coaching capacity, or if you're in my membership and you tell me about a problem that you're having with an email campaign or a launch that you're doing, there's a question that I will often ask, and I'll say, so, when you asked your email subscribers why they weren't buying from you, what did they say? And the number of times people have looked at me like sheepishly, well, I haven't asked them. It's so, so important that you build into your campaign. So when you're getting towards the end of a campaign, a sales campaign, usually that you build in a couple of emails, it could be up to 3 emails where you're asking people. So people who've actually clicked on the link, so people who have shown an interest in what it is that you're selling, and you're actually, you can completely automate this, but you're asking them why they didn't buy. So I would generally send an email that goes something along the lines of, I noticed that you've been checking out this particular product or service, but hasn't yet bought or hadn't yet signed up or whatever it might be. And I just wondered if you wouldn't mind just taking a few minutes just to let me know why. It could be that you have a question that I can answer. It could be that some more information that I give you. If it's just not the right time for you, absolutely fine, but I would really appreciate it. It's really helpful for my marketing. So it's usually something like that. Lots of people email back. It's what they need. It's like you need to give them permission to voice their concerns. And what's really interesting I've learned from doing this over the years is that the reasons people don't buy from you are varied and complex. So sometimes people have unanswered questions, but for whatever reason, they're too shy to ask their question. So it might be something like, I'm worried it's not for me because, and there might be some particular reason why they think it's not right for them, or they're worried that they won't complete it. They're worried about whether they'll have the time to do it or something like that. Others sometimes, and this is where you can rescue sales, they have a really fundamental misunderstanding. So I will often get, for example, that people have just decided that my programs are not for product-based businesses. And I do make an effort to make it clear that that's not the case. I try and include product-based testimonials on my sales page and whatever, but sometimes people will just decide that for whatever reason that it isn't for them. So when somebody comes back and says that, obviously I can address that objection. And sometimes it can be about something that you've done wrong. So it can be, sometimes it can be that you haven't made something clear on your sales page, or there's something that's a bit misleading on your sales page. So when somebody comes back to you and they tell you what their reason for not buying, you can actually go and tweak whatever it is on the sales page, or you can take that information and you can make an improvement to your sales page or your process or whatever it is that they've been tripped up by. Now, sometimes, you know, you'll ask this question and people still don't buy, but you definitely will be able to rescue some of them. If nothing else, you've got some really useful information to improve your sales copy and your sales page. It's so, so worth doing. Another little tip that I would give you is in your email that you send, your look not bought email, as we call them, sometimes people are a little bit shy just to come out and say what it is. So sometimes in my emails, I will say something like, I noticed that you have been checking out whatever it is, but hadn't yet bought. I wondered if you would be able to let me know why. These are typically the reasons why people aren't buying. And I might list some things like, haven't got the budget, haven't got enough time, not sure it's right for me because whatever. And I will give maybe 3 or 4 different scenarios. And these are usually based on real questions that I've had. And somehow that can just make it a little bit easier for people to open up, because if they know other people have been asking questions, and other people have been raising objections, they feel much more comfortable about telling you what theirs is. And I mean, some of the things I've heard over the years, it's so worth asking this question. I just can't stress it enough. I've just been so surprised, like, by some of the things that people have said. Like, they're just reasons that I would never in a million years have conceived that people would have had. Like, for example, one time I found out that one of the reasons somebody didn't want to join my membership program was because they thought that they had to have a Zoom one-to-one call with me. and they thought it was compulsory and they were nervous about doing this call. And there was me thinking this was a nice thing to offer people, but it certainly was not compulsory, but they decided that they thought it was. But just knowing that was obviously really helpful. It helped me to be able to give that person that information that they needed to make a decision. So that's really important that you've got your looked, not bought sequence. It's a great way for you to save sales. So I started this episode by saying that I was going to give you some information. I was going to try to answer the question of how many emails you should send or how often you should email your list. And I hope what I've showed you is that it really does depend on what you're doing. If you're at the stage where you're just building your list and you're not really selling lots and lots of things, then having that welcome or delivery sequence and then moving people onto a sales sequence might be enough. Even if you're not on a big launch or you've not got something big going on, I think out of sight, out of mind. And if you can create an opportunity, some kind of newsletter, if you can create some kind of regular email that you send, then you kind of stay top of mind. So I usually email my list on a Saturday morning to tell them about my podcast. I've also got this daily email now. If you can become part of people's routine, if you can get yourself to that stage where they're like, oh, it's Saturday and I haven't heard from Janet with their podcast email. What's going on? I was wondering what it was because I was going to go out on my run. That can be so powerful if you can become part of someone's routine. I talked about this in episode 400 about building your audience. If you can send a regular email, people know it's on a Wednesday, they know it's on a Tuesday, and whatever it is that you decide to send doesn't have to be any of those examples that I've given you. But if you can make it regular, if you can make it part of people's routine so they remember that that's when you email, I think that's really, really powerful. So I hope that I've helped you a little bit in terms of how often you should email your list. Key takeaways are you should almost certainly be emailing your list far more than you feel comfortable with. But really, how often you're emailing really does depend on what's going on in your business. But if you can create, I would say, a weekly email of some sort where you're keeping in regular touch and you're adding value, like you might be selling, you might be making a small offer, you might be selling in the PS of your email, then all great. But I do think that some of this does depend what's going on in your business, but certainly send more emails than you feel comfortable with. So I want to finish up by giving you a few recommendations of other podcast episodes that you might want to listen to. So we've got episode 395 with Robin Kennedy, who I talked about earlier, how to write addictive email copy. That's brilliant, that one. Episode 360, how to get people to open your emails. Episode 359, how to create an email newsletter people look forward to receiving. And episode, this is, I think, my most popular podcast episodes of all time. Episode 333, 39 surprisingly easy ways to increase your email subscribers. That is the most popular one of all time. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. The best place to come and find me is over on Instagram at JanMurrayUK. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you thought about this episode, any other podcast episodes that you would like to hear. And don't forget, if you're interested in getting your hands on some of these email sequences that I've spoken about, then it's time to join my Build Your Online Audience program. It's janetmurray.co.uk/Build Your Online Audience program. And my email templates come with the premium version.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.